Captain's log, Stardate 51474.2. The Defiant has been ordered to investigate a rare subspace compression phenomenon recently discovered in Federation space. This scientific assignment is a welcome change from months of combat duty against the Dominion. Three of my officers are taking a runabout into the anomaly's vortex. The runabout and its crew will be subjected to severe spatial distortion, so we have activated a tractor beam to minimize the effect.
So, how small are they?
The miniaturization process won't begin until the runabout reaches the edge of the accretion disk.
I see. And then they'll begin to shrink?
Yes, sir.
Major, are you laughing at our investigation of this subspace anomaly?
No, sir.
The data collected here could provide Starfleet with the key to creating transwarp corridors through space. It could give us a substantial tactical advantage over the Dominion.
Yeah, it's very important research.
What? I'm not laughing!
Just because we are shrinking three people to the size of coffee cups! Smaller, actually.
I do not see what is so humorous about being small.
Neither do I.
On screen.
The visual signal's degrading, Captain. We have audio only.
Go ahead, Rubicon.
We're about to enter the accretion disk.
I wish I were with you, old man.
I'll send you a postcard. Tell Worf I look forward to hearing his poem. I bet it'll be inspiring. We'll talk again once we've left the accretion disk and reversed the effects of the compression. Rubicon out.
Good luck, Rubicon.
We've lost our signal, Captain.
Thank you, Ensign. Mr. Worf. Poem?
It is an ancient Klingon tradition to commemorate an important event with a poem. Jadzia asked me to compose one for this occasion.
Well, what have you got so far?
They've penetrated the accretion disk.
Now, is it my imagination, or did the kid just cover for him?
This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
They are getting smaller.
Even the space within their subatomic structure is shrinking.
I wonder what it feels like.
On a screen, the Rubicon graphic gets even smaller.
I don't feel any smaller. Well, believe it or not, you're about a meter tall and shrinking fast. In a few minutes, you're going to be half the size of a comm badge.
There's a comforting thought.
The gamma ray flux is increasing. We should close the blast shutters.
Take a last look. We're on sensors from here on.
You're sure we'll return to our normal size once we clear the anomaly?
The probes did. You saw the data. Something wrong?
No, I'm fine. I'm just not in love with the idea of being small. What are you smirking at? You're as small as I am.
Actually, you're sitting 1.14 meters closer to the focal point of the anomaly, which means you've shrunk 0.04% more than I have.
What was that?
The tractor beam's fluctuating. Something's wrong.
The Defiant rocks under a violent phaser attack.
The Jem'Hadar coming around for another pass.
Radiation from the vortex must have masked their warp signature.
Return fire, Mr. Warp. Ensign, pull the Rubicon out of there.
Phasers are offline.
We're sitting duck as long as we're tethered to the runabout.
I'm not going to leave them in there if I can help it. Mr. Worf, go down to auxiliary control and target the phasers manually.
Aye, sir.
I'm losing the Rubicon, sir.
The tractor beam suddenly disengages and the Rubicon hurtles into the anomaly.
If we're going to get out of here, I need warp power now.
I'm on it.
Report.
Shield generators and impulse engines are offline, sir. Warp engines, too.
Another explosion hurls Kira to the floor as a Jem'Hadar boarding party materializes on the bridge.
Surrender, or you will all be killed.
Sisko looks around at the smoke-laden bridge as more warriors step forward. Nog shakes his head with terror as Sisko lowers his eyes in defeat. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled One Little Ship. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station Deep Space Nine is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. Spacecraft, tiny in comparison to the station, buzz around the circular form. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer circle on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other, and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. At one end of the semicircular arms, a huge starship has docked. It has the flat, saucer-shaped head, cylindrical body, and two engine arms of a Starfleet battlecruiser. Spacecraft of every imaginable shape and color and dimensions are docked all around the outer circle. One spaceship unlocks itself from a docking bay and flies over Deep Space Nine, accelerating away. In the distance, the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of a wormhole becomes visible, and the craft flies through it to another galaxy. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense, pale blue light.
Chief, you okay?
I think so.
Julian.
I'm fine, but you're not.
Oh, that's better.
That was the easy part.
Well, the good news is we're alive, so we must have escaped the anomaly.
The bad news is the external sensors and the comm system are down. I can patch around most of the damage, but it'll take time.
You better add the blast shutters to your list. I can't get them open.
There you go. Good as new.
Oh, I don't suppose that thing will work on our communication system.
I'm picking up the Defiant's transponder signal. We can home in on that.
Going to 1/4 impulse. Chief, either open these shutters or give me external sensors. Whichever's quicker. I need to see where we're going.
The lizard-like humanoid Jem'Hadar have taken control of the Defiant.
The bridge is secure. Tactical report. Bridge officers are confined in the mess hall. Other survivors in the cargo bay. We will have impulse power back online in 30 minutes, but it will take several hours to restore warp capability.
Must be gratifying for an elder to end his career with a victory. I feel privileged to be here with you at such a moment.
There is still much to do before we declare victory. Until we leave Federation space, we are vulnerable.
I am first. And I have declared victory.
It is, of course, your prerogative.
Open a channel to the Vorta.
Yes, first. We have the boarding party.
Ah, first. Your report?
The Defiant is ours.
Good. Very, very good. I must admit, I was initially quite skeptical about you and the other new Jem'Hadar bred in this quadrant, but this is a most impressive debut. Wouldn't you agree, Elder?
The takeover of the ship was competently executed.
Do I detect a note of jealousy in your voice? I'm sure it must be difficult for you to watch a new race of Jem'Hadar beginning to supplant you and the other members of the Old Guard.
I serve the Founders. If it is their will to create a new race, then that is the order of things.
But
the Jem'Hadar bred here in the Alpha Quadrant have not proven themselves superior to those in the Gamma Quadrant. At least, not yet.
Not yet. It is the Alphas who made this victory possible. If it were not for us, you would never...
You two can argue about this on your own time. First, how long until you restore warp power?
I will make a complete survey of the ship and give you a report in 1 hour.
Very well. I await your report.
Bring me Captain Sisko.
I would suggest that his execution can wait until we have completed repairs to the ship.
I'm not going to execute him.
Are you about to question my order, Second?
No. Obedience brings victory.
And victory is life.
The Second turns on his heel and walks out as the First crosses to one of his crew.
Find the ship's transponder and shut it down. I don't want anyone tracking us.
Yes, First.
And get these chairs off the bridge.
Thanks. It's enough.
I should have foreseen this. I should have sent out reconnaissance probes to scan for enemy ships, or shuttle, or recalibrate the sensors. If I had Jetsia...
None of that would have done any good. The Jem'Hadar approaches from the anterior angle of the anomaly. Their warp
signatures.
He's just trying to tell you that...
I do not need him to tell me anything!
Everybody settle. First of all, we don't know what happened to the Rubicon. For all we know, they got out of the anomaly on their own. If they did, they're headed home and in much better shape than we are. So let's hold off on analyzing our mistakes for now.
If they restore warp power, we'll be analyzing them from inside a Dominion prison camp.
Restoring warp power might not be so simple for them. It took us a week just to learn how to pilot one of their ships. We might have a chance to retake the Defiant, but we can't do anything unless we can get out of this room. Suggestions?
Captain Sisko, come with me.
Everybody, sit tight. I'll be back.
Nervously, Worf, Kira, and Nog watch the captain leave, fear playing in their eyes.
We've lost the Defiant's transponder signal.
Coming to a full stop.
The problem isn't at this end. It must have stopped transmitting.
I can't keep flying blind, Chief.
Try the shutters.
Nice work.
Ask and you shall receive. What the hell is that?
Some kind of wall?
In the middle of nowhere? Wait a minute. There's a symbol up there. It looks like a large black circle.
Anything else?
Hold on.
Chief, you're not gonna like this.
The sheet of ridged and flat-planed metal blocking their path extends up and away above them and far below. The tiny shuttle Rubicon is almost invisible in comparison to the enormous ship in front of them. They stare in disbelief as the shape of the craft becomes clearer. Far above them, and from their upside-down position, the registration code NX74205 announces that they are flying above the Federation battleship Defiant, but everything is gigantic. The tiny Rubicon flies alongside the Defiant, looking for a way of attracting attention.
I thought you said we'd return to our normal size once we left the anomaly.
We should have.
We didn't leave the anomaly by the same path which we entered it.
So the process failed to reverse itself.
Are you telling me I'm going to be this bloody tall for the rest of my life?
This bloody tall, actually. But don't worry. All we have to do to regain our original size is re-enter the anomaly and follow our original trajectory back out.
In theory.
In theory.
Well, I'll tell you what isn't a theory. We're going to need the Defiant's help to re-enter the anomaly.
With communications out, how do we get their attention?
Fly up to a window and knock?
Wait. If we're this big, well, that means the Rubicon is, what, this big?
More or less.
And the Defiant's aft plasma vent is this big?
Are you suggesting that we take the Rubicon inside the Defiant?
Well, why not? Getting past the anti-backflow valve might be tricky. But once we're inside, we have a better chance of attracting someone's attention than we do sitting out here.
I love it. Let's go.
The engineering team reports that we can start the impulse engines in 12 minutes.
Good.
Captain Benjamin Sisko, the one the Bajorans call the Emissary. I am First Kudakitan. In a strange way, you are the reason I exist. If you had not eliminated our fleet in the wormhole, there would have been no need to breed Alpha Quadrant Jem'Hadar.
You didn't bring me here to say thank you.
No. The impulse engine sustained only minor damage in our attack, but the warp drive was severely damaged. I will need your technical expertise in order to repair it. Bring Captain Sisko to the engine room so he may begin necessary repairs.
It's a mistake. Giving him access to the engine room will only give him an opportunity to retake the ship. In fact, he's working on a plan at this very moment.
I was not aware that telepathy was a gamma characteristic.
I know what he's thinking, because that's exactly what I would be doing in his position. You should kill him now, before he has a chance to put his plan into motion.
You are the second. I am the first. Do not presume to tell me what to do.
I'm glad the two of you worked that out now. What makes you think I'm going to help you?
Your choice is to repair the warp drive, or watch me execute your crew one at a time. Have 6th Dharanadar select one of the prisoners for execution and bring him to the bridge.
I can't do this job alone. I'm going to need some of my crew.
How many? I strongly suggest you refuse this request.
You have the weapons? Are you afraid you can't handle a few unarmed prisoners?
I won't be baited by a prisoner. And neither should you.
Okay. I'm in no hurry to reach a Dominion prison camp. If you want me to teach your men how to repair a warp drive, that's fine with me. We'll begin with primary command and control systems. That should take about 6 hours. Then we will move up to basic engineering theory for a Class 7 warp drive. Then...
Enough! You may have the other three bridge officers, but that is all. And I'm not interested in any more of your suggestions. Now take him to the engine room.
Sisko watches the first with calm resignation. He turns to the second, who nods in the direction of the door and leads Sisko off the bridge. The first turns away from them as they leave and allows a smug half-smile to play on his face. The Rubicon flies cautiously into a vent and passes over ejection sensors to the end of the tube before swinging carefully to the right.
Where are we, Chief?
We've just about reached the bipolar flow junction, I think.
You think?
Well, I'm not used to seeing things from this perspective. Once we reach the flow junction, we should be able to go up into the secondary warp plasma feed and then exit by the diagnostic panel.
This conduit's filthy, Chief. Don't you have a clean-up in here?
All right, let's not badger the Chief.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It was very small of me.
On the Defiant, the second marches Sisko towards a turbolift, his phaser trained on the captain's back. As they enter the lift, the second appears to be waiting for something.
Whatever it is you're planning, don't! I'll be watching you. And at the first sign of treachery, I will kill all your bridge officers.
I am a prisoner. I have
the
no
first
intention.
May be a fool, but I am not.
Then it is a pity for you that you are not the first.
I was. Until 2 days ago. If we had captured you while I was in command, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Deck 2, Section 5.
What happened?
He is an Alpha. I am a Gamma. His DNA and psychological profile are specifically designed for combat in this quadrant. Founders believe that makes him a better leader.
What do you believe?
I believe I've given you enough information already.
On the bridge, the first watches the Vorta on the viewing screen.
We have restored impulse power, and the warp drive will be operational in 5 hours.
Excellent. It's good to see my faith in you has not been misplaced. The Founders will be pleased. If you require no more assistance, I will resume our mission to Corridon. Let's hope the Federation's dilithium miners will be as surprised to see us as a Defiance crew was.
Victory is life.
Indeed.
The Vorta's face is replaced by his beetle-shaped ship as it swings round and accelerates away.
Set course for the nearest Dominion outpost. Engage impulse engines.
The tube through which the Rubicon is flying suddenly lights up and an orange glow fills the cockpit.
Uh-oh.
What is it?
The magnetic plasma guides are heating up.
They must have initiated the impulse pre-start sequence.
What does that mean, then?
It means this entire conduit is about to be filled with superheated plasma.
When you say superheated, if I can't find another way out of here, we'd be vaporized. Is that clear? Crystal.
The flaming plasma rushes towards the Rubicon.
There's a distribution manifold coming up. Take the left conduit, then make a quick right into the relays.
Left, then right.
I hope you know where you're going, Chief. So do I. Through the relays, there's an inspection hatch coming up on the right. I can figure out a way to open that.
We're out of time.
Speeding ahead of the burning plasma, the Rubicon reaches a junction and swings round towards a hatch.
What about the hatch?
We'll have to open it the old-fashioned way.
With flames licking at the hull, the Rubicon powers forward, forcing the hatch open and bursts out of the junction.
Let's not do that again.
No promises. So where are we, Chief?
We should be in the engine room, near the warp core.
Right.
Keeping low to the floor, Jadzia pilots the Rubicon cautiously under a metal staircase to rest below the warp core engine column.
There's the core. Looks like the warp drive is offline.
Quite a mess.
I wonder what happened.
The engine room is filled with armed Jem'Hadar watching Sisko's bridge crew suspiciously as they work on the warp engine.
What are you doing?
Realigning the dilithium articulation frame.
Instruct him on how to complete the realignment.
It'll take longer to explain than just to
then
do it.
Explain it quickly. Give him the tool.
All right. Start by decoupling the lateral microbrace.
The shuttle rises vertically from the floor to come level with a Jem'Hadar's face.
That's not good.
Jadzia quickly turns the Rubicon away as the warrior looks up, surprised. He looks around, his eyes darting up and down, left and right, but sees nothing. The Rubicon flies towards a bulkhead and points vertically upwards, following the wall to a set of pipes behind which Jadzia stops the shuttle.
Chief, I need visual sensors as fast as you can get them to me.
Right. Julian, give me a hand down here.
The Jem'Hadar crew swarms over the warp engine consoles, busily trying to fix the damage, while Kira sits on a step, checking readings on her tricorder. Jadzia carefully raises the Rubicon to a better position.
Okay, you should have visual sensors now. The comm system's back online.
They're forcing our crew to repair the warp drive.
Why's the captain going along with this?
Good question. But if I know Benjamin, he's up to something. Can you give me a tight shot on the operations display?
I think so.
Do you see what I see?
Very clever.
Oh, the problem is it's never going to work.
The bridge control lockouts.
The security codes are hardwired through the encryption circuitry.
Someone please let me in on this conversation. The captain's trying to take control of the ship from engineering. Kira is the only one actually working on the warp drive. It doesn't look like she's in any hurry to get it done.
I think Worf's trying to cover their tracks. It looks like he's sending false signals to the computer system.
Nog is the key. He's trying to override the bridge control lockout so he can release the command codes. If he can do that, the captain can control the entire ship from the operations console. Nog's a smart kid, but it's going to take him weeks to release the codes from here. Can we do anything to help him? Not from engineering. If we could get to the bridge, we could release the codes from there. How?
Wait a minute. One thing at a time. First, we need to get out of the engine room without getting caught.
Easing more power to the engines, Jadzia pushes the Rubicon forward between the pipes and heads towards the door. Reaching the door panel, the shuttle dips to the floor.
Why is the Klingon working on the plasma display subsystem?
Because I told him to.
That system has nothing to do with warp drive operation.
Maybe not on Dominion ships, but I'll need to use the display to monitor warp plasma stability. Pardon me.
Carefully, the Rubicon weaves through the warrior's legs 2 inches from the floor and hides behind a storage box with a view across engineering. A Jem'Hadar takes an instrument from the box and the shuttle moves slightly away, hovering over tools on a bench.
Now what?
Now we wait until someone walks out that door.
Sixth!
Yes, second.
Relieve the Klingon. Take over the repair of the display subsystem.
Immediately, second.
Give the Klingon another task.
Why?
Because I said so. Why is the warp drive not online yet? He's stalling.
Stalling? Your second is the one who's slowing down the work. He countermands my orders, arbitrarily reassigns my crew. I can't get any work done in here.
You were told to watch them, not to interfere with them.
You're playing right into his hands. Don't you see that?
Captain Sisko, you have 30 minutes to restore warp power, or I will kill her and another of your crew every 15 minutes until you do. And you, second, will no longer interfere with their work.
Get ready. When he activates the door sensor, we'll...
Looking up, they suddenly see someone reaching for the tools. Swiftly, Jadzia swings the tiny craft from side to side and remains unseen. The first opens the door and walks through. As the door closes, the Rubicon squeezes through between the door and the frame, and Julian heaves a sigh of admiring relief.
Nice bit of piloting.
If you like that, you're gonna love what's coming up next.
Captain Sisko finishes working on a relay grid and turns to look around engineering. The second paces up and down, watching Sisko and Worf suspiciously. He is angry and frustrated by the situation, staring watchfully around. Nog rushes agitatedly from console to console.
Any luck, Ensign?
Not yet, sir. The system's always three steps ahead of me. Every time I get past the primary security net, the secondary always kicks me back out. And the codes are all reset. And I have to start all over again. Like that. Do you have a backup plan in case this doesn't work?
Yes, I'll destroy the ship.
There are still a few algorithms I haven't tried yet.
Thanks. All right, I'm ready to connect the deuterium injector, go to the plasma relay, and power it up, but slowly, just like I showed you.
The warrior nods and crosses to a console as Sisko joins Kira at her station.
I'm about 10 minutes away from initiating the pre-start sequence in the warp drive. How's Nog doing?
Not good. You'll have to find another problem.
Too fast! Reinitialize the system and start again, but do it at about half the speed this time. Oh, he's not stupid. He's already got the entire command and control system committed to memory. I can't keep him fooled forever.
In a battle of wits between you and him, I'll bet on you every time.
What kind of odds are you giving?
Kira catches Sisko's eyes and she smiles nervously as he beams jovially at her. The first strides along a corridor towards the bridge. Behind him, very close, the Rubicon follows the Jem'Hadar leader. Stopping suddenly, he looks up, aware of something, but unable to find it. The Rubicon rises behind his head as he shrugs and continues.
First, I've realigned the targeting sensors. There are errors in the tracking subroutines.
You were not ordered to check the targeting sensors?
Well, I thought it a wise precaution, in case we encountered an enemy ship on our way home.
Your initiative pleases me. It's a trait that the Gammas lack.
Well, the Gammas have many flaws.
When we return from this mission, there will be need for a new second. I will recommend you to the Vorta.
You will not be disappointed.
I'm sure that I won't. It'll be alphas like us that determine the future of this quadrant. That will be the new order of things.
The first turns and enters the bridge as the warrior smiles cruelly to himself and walks away. Upside down on the ceiling, the Rubicon's independent gravity generator holds the crew in position.
Looks like we need another ticket into the bridge. So how long do we wait for someone to open the door?
We don't.
In engineering, eyes alert for danger, Sisko and Worf lean together by a console.
We cannot access the auto-destruct system without drawing attention.
Plant a computer virus in the warp plasma subprocessor. Set it to cause a core breach once the ship reaches warp 1.
Understood.
Jadzia slowly flies the Rubicon towards the bridge's outer door panel.
Don't hit it too hard. You could shatter the control panel.
Don't worry, I have a light touch.
Not according to Worf.
Gently nosing forward, the Rubicon nudges the panel twice and the bridge door slides open. Startled, the first turns to see who is there. Seeing no one, he crosses to the open door, looking around as the Rubicon flies between his legs and hides under a table.
We certainly can't release the control lock while the first has his hand on it.
Can we bypass it?
Well, I suppose I could reroute the encryption subprocessors manually.
But?
But I'd have to leave the ship to do it. I have to say, I'm not fond of the idea. I can think of 1,000 ways a 1-centimeter man could get fried walking around inside a circuit housing.
Relax, Miles. You wouldn't be able to go out there even if you wanted to. You wouldn't be able to breathe. The oxygen molecules outside are almost 2,000 times larger than anything your hemoglobin could assimilate. He'd suffocate.
Well, that takes care of that idea.
Unless circuit housings are airtight. I could beam a bubble of compressed air ahead of you, and it would expand to fill the housing.
That should work. I mean, the air would be thin, but you'd be able to breathe for about 20 minutes.
And then?
You'd pass out.
Aghast, Chief O'Brien turns to Jadzia, who simply shrugs.
We'd pass out. You're coming with me.
Materializing inside the circuit board, Miles and Julian stare in amazement at the huge diodes, circuits, and power cables. They are dwarfed by microchips.
This might take longer than I thought.
All right.
If we beamed into the primary safeties junction, we should see a cluster of heuristic subprocessors next to a rectilinear expansion module. The question is, what does a rectilinear expansion module look like when you're 1 centimeter tall? What?
I don't have the faintest idea. But it's amazing. It's like we're in the middle of an optronic forest.
It looks like we need to go...
Julian, stop!
That chip behind you is carrying 20 microamps of electric current. Now, it's not very much,
but it's enough to fry every synapse in my tiny body. Thanks for the tip.
All right. Stay right behind me. And don't touch anything without asking.
Believe me, I won't.
Julian stumbles quickly after him. The Jem'Hadar Alphas are gathered on the bridge as a warrior enters carrying a heavy black box. He places it carefully on a desktop and turns to his comrades.
The White.
The first slowly crosses to him and nods.
It is time.
Under the table, Jadzia watches the Jem'Hadar's legs gather around the first.
How's it coming, Chief?
We're making progress. Aren't we, Chief?
I'm still trying to locate the security protocol interlink. Shouldn't take much longer.
Well, the sooner the better. Things are getting a little crowded up here.
The warrior taps a code into the panels on the top of the box, releasing the electronic locking mechanism. Pushing back the lid, he moves aside as the first reaches into it and takes out 6 tubes of the white liquid that nourishes the Jem'Hadar. He gives them to the warrior next to him.
We pledge our loyalties to the founders from this...
We're all alphas here. Our loyalty is demonstrated by our actions, not our words.
The warrior nods and hands out the white.
All right. Now, Miles, we're lost, aren't we?
Yes, we're lost. I can draw these circuits in my sleep. I've just never seen them from this perspective.
Disorientation. It's one of the effects of hypoxia. Lack of oxygen. Need to focus on a landmark.
There. That large isolinear chip. Number 58966 stroke delta. What is it?
Julian. There are 2 dozen 66 deltas in the asymmetric encryption circuits alone.
All right. Then what? What's this? Here, in its base.
Well, it's a 4-way interlink shunt.
So, that would mean that this chip is?
I don't know. I told you that they all look the same to me.
All right, don't look at it.
What?
Close your eyes. Use your memory. Is a 4-way shunt at the base of a 58966 stroke delta isolinear chip, which is where?
The only 4-way shunt near a 66 delta is at the base of the master differential relay.
That's gotta be it. So the interlink we want has to be
that way.
In engineering, Sisko walks slowly and gloomily to Major Kira's workstation.
We've got trouble. They're cross-checking the diagnostic protocols.
Has not made any progress.
Not yet.
Miles struggles to force a heavy pulsing cable into a circuit relay. Chief crosses to help Julian pull another cable from its socket. Finally succeeding, their strength sapped by the thin atmosphere, Julian heaves it to another input.
Which one?
That one. No, no, no.
Sure.
As he turns away, it falls out.
Again. Julian.
Miles seals it in place with a phaser blast.
Rubicon. Mission complete.
Oh, I am good.
Come with me. All of you, step away from the consoles. Right now!
Captain, I did it. I don't know how, but I released the command codes.
Well done. What we need now is a diversion before they go to warp.
Silence!
All the Defiant's command functions have been transferred to engineering. But nothing's happening.
Maybe the captain doesn't realize he has control of the ship yet.
Maybe he's in trouble. The first was called to the engine room a few minutes ago.
How long has the warp drive been repaired?
At least 1 hour. Maybe longer.
And they managed to conceal it from you?
You ordered me not to interfere with him.
I also told you to watch them carefully.
If we had assigned Jim Hadar to do the repair, as I said...
I am not interested in your excuses.
Bring the warp drive online.
Wait! Before we activate the warp drive, we should check the entire system for possible sabotage.
That would take hours. Every minute we spend in Federation space exposes us to detection and attack. And I would hate for your last mission to end in failure, Elder. Do it.
And when you have sufficient engine power available, bring us to Warp 4.
At least we're gonna take them with us.
Secure these four with the other prisoners.
The first opens the door and the tiny Rubicon bursts through. He quickly opens fire, followed by his warriors, and the Rubicon fires back, blasting one warrior with a torpedo. The warriors fire indiscriminately as Sisko leaps for the core controls.
Dax, upper rail!
I've got him.
Kira grabs a weapon from a dead guard and Worf grabs a warrior, snapping his neck. Knocking Nog over, another warrior attacks Worf as the Jem'Hadar on the upper rail fires at Sisko, who desperately tries to override the command system.
This guy's really starting to get on my nerves.
I have torpedo lock.
Fire!
The blast hurls the dead warrior to the lower deck. As Worf batters his opponent, Kira fires on a Jem'Hadar, taking aim at Sisko while the captain fights off another attacker. Pushing the Jem'Hadar away, Sisko gives Kira a clear shot. Worf knocks the last Jem'Hadar unconscious and Sisko regains control of the engine room.
I'm flooding all the compartments except the engine room with anesthazine gas. Major, get that virus out of the computer before someone on the bridge engages the warp drive.
Aye, sir.
He should have listened to you and killed me when he had the chance.
He was her first. They don't need to listen. Obedience brings victory. And victory is...
The second dies. Worf steps over his body, staring angrily at him. Suddenly, all eyes turn towards the ceiling as the Rubicon descends from the upper deck.
Mr. Worf, I think your wife is here.
The shuttle levels off at head height and slowly draws closer to Worf. He stares in surprise at the tiny figures inside. The chief waves happily while Jadzia blows her husband a kiss.
Captain's log, supplemental. After completing repairs, we were able to return to the anomaly and successfully restore our runabout and its crew to their normal size. The surviving Jem'Hadar have been transferred to a Federation POW camp.
Is that your poem?
Yes. Bloodwine.
Can I hear it?
It is not finished yet.
Oh, please, just the first line.
All right. But it is my first poem.
I understand.
And I have worked very long and very hard on this.
I know.
And I do not wish to be ridiculed.
I promise.
Very well. This is the story of a little ship that took a little trip. What do you think?
It's, well, it rhymes. There's nothing on this pad.
We were just minding our own business when suddenly, right there in front of us, was this immense Jem'Hadar.
He looked as tall as a Celtan Carnosaur. We were so close, you could see the veins in his eyeballs throbbing. We swung around and ducked behind the operations console. I knew we had to get our sensors back online if we were going to be of any help to the captain and the others. So I said to Julian,
is there something wrong?
Are you sure you've returned to your normal size?
Of course.
Why?
Well, you both appear to be a couple of centimeters shorter than you were the last time I saw you. A changeling notices that sort of thing.
I didn't want to say anything, but you do look a little on the petite side.
Infirmary.
And they say you don't have a sense of humor.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.